build your tribe with this quick Twitter tip from social media and relationships expert, Mari Smith.
But you can proactively grow, and I'm going to give your listeners my favorite tool, which is called Manage Flitter. Manage Flitter, FLITTER.com, and you can punch in keywords. You can even pay like $10 as a nominal fee to use their managed service, and then you can actually proactively find and follow people on Twitter, probably about half of which will follow you back.
Get ready to fine-tune your engines with your host, New York Times best-selling author, celebrity fitness trainer, and mother of two. At a towering 5'2", this internet marketing maven was once sent to Facebook jail, falsely accused of impersonating herself. Now she's here to help you turbocharge your life. Your host, Chalene Johnson.
Mari, it is so great to have you.
Thank you so much, Chalene. It's delighted to be here. And you know what? Oh, actually, you and I were chit-chatting on Facebook, and I just thought it was wonderful going back and forth about names, because I always say Mari like Ferrari, no, Mari like calamari, and like people call me all kinds of things but pronounce it right.
I can totally relate. I would say Chalene like shut the door, or Chalene like Celine Dion, except I don't have her voice.
I love it.
But my name is so, you know, hard to pronounce for people that I just, you know, I let them say, if it's even close, I'll raise my hand and say, here.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, that's great.
Well, it's a real honor for me to have you on this podcast because I've been a student of yours for so long. I really have learned so much about not just Facebook, but marketing in general and community. And that's why when I was looking at the lineup of people who I thought would be most valuable for others to hear from and to meet, you're an individual who we've referred to in all of our marketing academies and with the students that we coach. We say, here's a really great, reliable source. You're always going to get up-to-date information in a way that's honest. And so thank you for being a part of the show today.
Well, I'm honored. I'm truly honored. I'm a big fan of yours as well. And so here we are in the mutual admiration club.
I love it. It's so cool. And I think most people would assume or know you from the work that you've done in Facebook. But mm-hmm. The truth is, you are just a relationship expert. So can you tell us, before, you know, the internet and everybody building email lists, what brought you to this place that you think serves you today?
Yeah, I think of myself as a relationship marketing specialist, but you're right, it was relationships, people. I've always been fascinated as I go back through the vast array of my diverse career. And then even as a teenager, I've had a fascination for computers, technology, and then ultimately the internet in the 90s, and always with people. So I had these two common threads throughout my entire career, my love of people, my love of technology. And so I came to this country in 1999 from Scotland, mm-hmm. and before that I was born in Canada. And I just came with a few pounds in my pocket, very little to my name, but just with a dream in my heart. And I just absolutely knew I was supposed to be in California. And I began to pursue really a career as an entrepreneur. Previous to that, I was always an employee. And I just think that, you know, in America here, we have just so many fantastic opportunities. And gosh, I actually even bartered my immigration attorney. I built him a website in exchange for his fees. I just never heard of that in Scotland. And so from there, I was really involved in e-commerce, and I got certified as a relationship coach. I actually used to teach classes to singles and couples about being clear in their value and their vision and their purpose. And it was in 2007 that I got invited to be on a beta test team of a Facebook app. And it was like, I actually kind of joke about being an overnight success, 10 years in the making, because nobody really saw from like 99 to 2009, like an enormous amount of just consistent hard work, focus, until everything just, you know, the stars aligned. And as they say, luck happens when preparation meets opportunity. And to me, social media is like this perfect blend of my two loves throughout my whole adult life, people and technology.
Isn't that interesting? Especially mm-hmm. the piece that I never knew, that you were actually someone commissioned to teach people how to be clear about their priorities and what it is they want to attract to them, a relationship coach.
Yeah, Yeah, it's certified. Yeah, back in 2002. Yeah. And actually, one of my first information products was based for helping. It was geared toward women in particular to really be clear on who they are and to be successful in the world and to build their own wealth and not to be looking to a man to provide them wealth.
Mm-hmm. Now, when people think of someone who's really been on Facebook since the beginning and familiar with the internet and comfortable there, at what stage did you realize, okay, I need to take this offline or off of a social media platform and start building my email list?
Oh, gosh, right from the absolute get-go, Shalene. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. No, I've been building my email list really since 1999, 2000. I started out with a service here in San Diego. I called it Parties and Events in San Diego. And if anyone was having either a social or an educational event, they would let me know and I put it on this list for free. And I sent it out, and I think about 5,000 names at the time. And then over to my tribe, if you will, they just kept following different iterations of what I was doing with my different careers. And so then when I got into, you know, the relationship coaching, people were still on my list and more people would opt in. And fast forward, you know, getting into Facebook. I mean, the moment that I pulled up Facebook.com was really another defining moment in my life that I just could feel something unique and powerful about the site. And I never was on there for personal reasons. I wasn't going, oh, this looks like a fun way to keep in touch with my old school friends. I mean, that just never entered my head. I was like, oh my gosh, you can interact and network and make friends with anyone in the world. Wait a second. People whose books I've been reading for years, whose seminars I've attended, like gurus and leaders in many different walks of life, who I've long admired. And all of a sudden, at the click of a button, I can be connecting with them. No gatekeepers, no secretaries, no, you know, admin to get through. And I just became very passionate about being an evangelist for the site for professional purposes. And, you know, and now in my talks today, fast forward 7 years, I really encourage business people on Facebook to migrate their audience, or at least they can be in two places. You're still going to interact and engage on Facebook, but you've got to own your audience. You do not own your audience when all you have is Facebook fans, because it's rented. You're on rented land. So you have to be a property owner. You have to own your own email list. I'm just such an advocate for that. Absolutely.
Hashtag amen, sister.
It's so,
it's so true. You said something there that I think is so fascinating, and it's a common theme in people who I've studied who have this, as you said it, tribe. They're lifers. And I call them lifers because they do exactly what you've said. They trust you. They like you. They follow you. And they follow you kind of wherever you go and however your career transitions. And as I keep growing up and trying on new hats and new identities, mm-hmm. I find that those people who were with me in the beginning are still with me. And I want for you to describe to the audience, who is that person?
Well, it's typically a female. She's probably in her 40s, somewhere between 30 and 50 anyway, although obviously I have people outside that range. She is faith-based or spiritual, considers herself spiritual. She is an entrepreneur, and she is absolutely all heart. And whatever type of business, I work from, you know, everything from artists to authors, speakers, network marketers, you name it, just a vast array of local mom-and-pop shops to huge corporations and brands. And the one common theme for me is that I only work with clients and students who are in alignment with me and my values. I just, like, I have people come to me and ask to place an ad in my e-zine, for example, my email newsletter. Mm-hmm. And if it's not something that I personally would use and endorse, I will not place the ad. And so, you know, integrity is just such a crucial part of my life and how I run my business. And those are the kinds of people that I tend to attract.
That is so well stated. Is there a guiding principle in the way you have been able to build a community? And I say that because, I mean, there's a lot of people who do what we do, who educate and who help entrepreneurs. But they do so in a way that you almost feel like they're a step above, untouchable. And the one thing that I've always really related to with your stuff is I always feel like, you know, you're like in there with us, like, hey guys, I know this is confusing. I can understand how you'd be frustrated. Let me help. So has there been some guiding principles that have, you know, even just word choice that are important to you so that people feel a part of something?
Yeah, definitely. Actually, two things come to mind as you were saying that. Number one is when it comes to success with social media marketing, you've got to have your hat on as a member first. You can't think like a marketer first. You put your member hat on. So that's where that for me comes where you're in the trenches. There's a new change. There's some fresh. If you personally are as a business person, a successful business person, if you're feeling frustrated, then heck yeah, your audience is bound to as well. So it's like empathizing that you're in their shoes and empathizing with them, thinking like a member first in whatever way, shape or form, you know, whatever your business niche is, that you can really be in the audience's shoes. And then second, as you think like a marketer, you're strategic. Now, I'm strategic in everything that I do, but my intent is always honorable. It's always to add value. It's always to help people. So I've got my member hat on and my marketer hat on top of that. And so as my mantra, in fact, I even have it printed on my checks, is relationships first, business second. So when you come from that internal approach, people can feel it. So that's one thing. And the second thing I wanted to mention is that I have this theory about marketers, and with all due respect, it takes all kinds, right? But there's two types of marketers. There's the numbers-based marketers. They look out onto the marketplace and all they see is numbers, sizes of lists and metrics, and just, you know, it's all about getting on leaderboards and jockeying for position and just, you know, the biggest number wins. And they're not really seeing that there's real people and behind those numbers or email lists. The second type is the heart-based marketers. And the heart-based marketer looks out into the marketplace and they see real people with hearts, with needs, with challenges that they can help them with. And truth be told, you got to really actually have a foot in both camps. If your heart is good, but you do need the numbers, but don't lead with the numbers, lead with the heart. And then the numbers actually end up taking care of themselves when you keep an eye on them and track the right metrics and whatnot. But people can absolutely feel that if your intent is to serve, and then as a byproduct, that you're successful and you make money.
Now, I'm glad you brought that up. And I wondered if you've ever had an experience where, especially because I'm sure you have a coveted email list, you have the type of email list that other internet marketers are going to approach you to see if you want to do an affiliate or to just partner with you, even to share the stage with you. Mm-hmm. Do you have a guiding principle that helps you to decide who you will work with or who you will introduce to your list?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was back to this integrity piece, Shalene, because it's just we have to have an alignment in values, and I will do some real serious homework on who the person is. Invariably, I mean, I have to have a pre-existing relationship with someone before I'll just automatically do an ad. Is different. I can pop a little ad in my newsletter with someone whose product or service that I want to endorse and that, you know, it's helpful to people on my list. But to do, I've always had this for however long I've had my list, 14 years now, that I will not do a solo blast unless, you know, it's something that I wholeheartedly can back and get behind. We were just talking offline there about our mutual friend, Mike Stelzner, in the Social Media Examiner. And so he's one of the exceptions that are, for me, that I'll send that solo blast, not exception, but one of the people in my like inner circle, if you will, that anything he does, I'm more than happy to put it out to my list because there's a real solid match with what he offers and what my list wants. And we have an incredible friendship and alignment and values. So that's the guiding principle for me, is all about the relationship. It actually bothers me when I see email inquiries come in and go, oh, no, hey, Mario, and like, you know, we want to invite you to do this promotion, and here's all the requirements, you know, and you promote us, and then it's like, wait a second, you're going to make all the money, and you want me to, you're basically just, you know, renting my list, and I just will not do that to people on my list.
I think that's probably one of the reasons why people will follow you as your career transitions, as your interests change. Can you share with us, and we haven't talked about this in advance, was there ever a moment where you thought, you know, I'm really interested in kind of knowing more about this and creating a product for my customers, and I've never gone here before. I wonder if they'll follow.
Actually, so in 2012, I worked very closely with an extremely high-end business coach, invested multiple six figures throughout the year in working with her. And she was basically supporting me or grooming or coaching me to launch a very, very high-end agency, a social media agency for corporations. And it got to be about, say, 6-8 months into the arrangement. And I just was like, whoa, I do not want to build a massive enterprise and have hundreds of employees and, you know, have an office, big, huge office or building. And it got to the point where I realized I was climbing up this ladder that was really her vision for me, not my vision for me. So I had to kind of just press the pause button and all that. And in the meantime, I've been very immersed in my spiritual growth since 2009. I have a pretty spiritual background. I was raised in a small Quaker community in rural BC. Canada, and then I just began to really integrate and intersperse more spiritual and universal principles into my work. And after 2012, or just toward the end of 2012, I decided to launch a coaching program called Business and Beyond, Business and Beyond Club. And Business and Beyond is just that. It's, you've got your business world, and then the beyond part is the personal growth, the personal development, the spiritual, a law of attraction, all just things like that, law of belief. And so I launched the coaching program, did really well in 2012, and then I didn't do much with it last year. I think I just was not certain on the direction of it. Mm-hmm. But this year, what I'm doing is I'm actually getting ready to, it might actually not be till early 2015, but I'm going to launch a podcast called Business Beyond. And I will be interviewing leaders in the business world and what drives them internally, what's mm-hmm. their faith, their spirituality. And I just am making myself get out there more with that message, because I really feel it's a huge part of why I'm here on this planet.
And was there some reluctance or trepidation, even apprehension of sharing that side of you, thinking that, oh, maybe this is too personal or this might offend some of my followers?
Oh, gosh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And my spiritual teacher, her name is Esperanza. She's here in San Diego, and she runs the Soul Institute. And I've had her come to many of my live events and lead people like in a meditation. And she's very like non-denominational. But I remember one couple that were just so offended that I would bring this person in, that their beliefs just didn't resonate. So I took that as like, okay, I'm going to give people a choice then. If you want, you know, she's mm-hmm. going to come in and lead this meditation. If it works for you, great. If not, you can, you know, you can step outside for now. But yeah, and that did create some fear in me, because I'm like, it bothers me when people are upset for any reason, mm-hmm. and I should, you know, not take it personally, but I'm pretty sensitive and I want to please everybody. But even though I know that's not always possible. So, yeah.
I think it's so important you shared that. I believe that we need to have important people in our lives who can tell us like it is and not, you know, always kiss up or say what they think we want to hear. And I've mm-hmm. got one of my very best friends, Monica Gray, we've been friends for 20 years, and she was watching one of my training videos, and I talked about just generally about faith, and I said something like, you know, whether you're a Christian or whatever you believe in, I just said it very dismissively. Mm-hmm. And she called me after she watched it, and she said, you know, that it really upsets me that you're so dismissive, like when you mention your faith. And I said, well, mm-hmm. you know, I don't want to offend anybody. She goes, but there's certain people who you don't want to work with, and you're okay with offending them. Why are you reluctant to share your faith? And, you know, it was kind of that, like, that thing you need to hear from a friend. And mm-hmm. from that day forward, I thought, you know what? I am going to put it out there the same way I do in my real life, because I want people to know who I really am. And I want some people to, quote unquote, get out of the car on this journey that we're on together. Like, I don't want negative people. I don't want people who are just about the numbers. And quite frankly, I love working with people of faith. So since I put it out there, I've really had... oh, I've just met the neatest people that I know I never... They'll say, you know, you posted something about your faith and that's why I'm calling.
Oh, wow. I love that. That's fantastic. That's really just, perfect example of what we're talking about here. Just get over that fear and put out the world. You can't serve everybody anyways. You may as well serve the ones that are absolutely in alignment with you and your values.
Yeah, you got to get some of those people out of the car.
The car. I love that scene.
Now, has there ever... what's been the one piece other than your spirituality that you've shared on a personal note, maybe even a vulnerability, that really resonated with your followers, your tribe, your lifers?
Well, this is definitely a personal subject, and it doesn't make me feel vulnerable to share this, but it is out there on the internet. And so in 2009, I had been married for 8 years. I've been together with my ex for 10. And I just, you know, my marriage, unfortunately, had come to an end. And I at the time, I had been on social media for 2 years, from 2007 to 2009. And I'd built up a fair, you know, a decent following. And I actually was traveling around in an RV at the time. And my ex and I were just, you know, we were just taking a bit of a sabbatical almost, but my business was really taking off. And so people would log on and go, where are you now? I'm up in Alaska, or I'm in Yellowstone. And so now I talk about hubby and I this or hubby and I that. And then I was like, okay, now how do I share with my community that I am no longer married? And I got divorced pretty quickly in like the spring of 2009. And people would tweet to me or Facebook me, go, where are you guys now? And how's your hubby? And I hadn't been RVing for about 6 months, and, you know, we weren't together anymore. So I thought, okay, I want to do this in the most responsible, accountable, loving way. And so I wrote a blog post up, and it just says, choosing to share my personal journey. And I let people know that it was very amicable, it was very peaceful. And sometimes in life, you know that your inner truth is that you're not really living your life in alignment with that, and you just have to make some transition, some change. And I tell you what, when I had five trusted friends read that blog post, including my spiritual teacher and my own mom, read that post before I hit the publish button, like my heart was in my throat. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it. Here goes, world, I'm about to make this announcement. And I was scared, like, how people were going to say and all the pushback. But I tell you what, it was probably one of the best ways that I could have made this change, because the response was just, even now I still get comments on that post. And my intent, I told them in the post that my intent was to inspire people to live into their deepest truth, whether that meant writing a book or traveling the world or having a baby or getting married or getting unmarried, whatever it might be to you, you've got to listen to your inner truth and follow that path. So
I think it's important that when we share our stories, people hear our stories, but they kind of drift into their own life. You know what I mean? Like, so it's not just all about you. In that blog post that you shared, people could see inspiration for their own life. And right. That's really important, I think, for people to be able to connect with us. So they have to know who we are.
Yeah.
On some level.
Mm-hmm.
There's always the case of TMI, too much information.
Well, it's true, because back in the day, when social media was first like going nuts, we would talk about transparent, you got to be transparent. And I was like, wait a minute, no. And now we call it selective transparency. So you select what you want the public, the world, the social media, the forever internet world to know about you. But there are absolutely aspects of my life that I keep extremely private and that never go online. And that gives me a sense of peace, knowing that, yes, I'm transparent, but I also still have a private life.
So great. Now, if you would, I mean, with these two phenomenal books that have helped so many entrepreneurs, not just online entrepreneurs, but people who own a physical location, your books have helped so many people understand how to use the internet to build their tribe, to attract the type of people that they not only want to work with, but they want to help, the people you like. So could you give us some of your best tips for, and I'm going to let you pick either Facebook or Twitter because you're huge on both, some of your best tips to help our listeners start to build their email list?
Oh, absolutely. One of my favorite topics, because the two go hand in hand. They are the perfect couple, email list and social media. So very first, what's worked extremely well for me for years and years and years, in fact, even before social media, is webinars. And I do free webinars. It's just a fantastic model that I offer a free webinar. I give tons of content away. The shortest I've done is an hour. The longest is 3 hours. I rented a studio. I had a live studio audience, a 3-camera shoot. So I've gone to like the whole gamut from, you know, me in my home office with a little webcam up to the full thing. But now you've got the beauty of Google Hangouts making these free webinars so easy. And so then I'll take that free webinar, I'll promote it on Facebook, on Twitter. I have a significant number of affiliates, and my affiliates know my model, that when they promote my free webinar, I give tons of valuable content, and then I am going to make an offer, and it'll be a compelling offer. It'll be one that people would, or I'm going to reward people for taking fast action. So that free webinar, I will get as many as, gosh, I think my record is about 15,500 opt-ins for one webinar.
Oh, and my gosh, my jaw just dropped on the floor. That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And then I know my numbers. It's that one. There's a wonderful acronym, OKM, is one key metric. If you know your one key metric, then that's different for everybody. For me, it's the number of webinar registrations. From there, I can absolutely tell you how much revenue I'm going to generate from that one launch, because I know about 40% of people will show up live. And then all of those, we can close about 25%. And then whatever amount that the offer is, it's just, it's fantastic. So free webinars, and then make an offer. I always say to people, don't ever make a free, like present something free without then having something, some invitation to do business with you. It could be super soft, or it can be, you know, more compelling. So free webinars, but if you're not a big webinar person, do some a free PDF download, an audio, a video, but give something away for free. The second one is also, the second one is Facebook ads. And I just don't think enough people really understand Facebook ads. It feels like it's a moving target. It's like people get a little concerned, obviously, because it involves investing money and you've got to be able to study and learn the topic. The beautiful thing, though, I want your listeners to know is that there's a fantastic feature called a custom audience. So you can take your email list and load it up to Facebook and now place ads in the newsfeed to that email list. So maybe, you know, you're never going to get 100% open rate on your email list, but maybe some of the people are not opening your emails. You can catch them in the newsfeed. Also, you can take that same list and create what Facebook calls a lookalike audience. You can do a lookalike audience that's brand new people that look similar to your email list, or similar to your fan page, or similar to people who visit your website. And those are Facebook ads that you can target. If someone visits your website but they don't opt in, you can catch them with a Facebook ad. So that's the second tip. And then the third tip is Twitter. I have always been a fan of proactively growing your Twitter following. It just always amazes me how many people in this space and other industries just plateau. They get a certain number of followers and they just kind of plateau. Yes, you've got to have tons of content regularly, but you can proactively grow. And I'm going to give your listeners my favorite tool, which is called Manage Flitter. Manage Flitter, FLITTER.com. And you can punch in keywords. You can even pay like $10 as a nominal fee to use their managed service. And then you can actually proactively find and follow people on Twitter, probably about half of which will follow you back. And then to grow your email list, as you're sharing good content, yours and other people, you can intersperse your tweets with calls to action to join your email list. You can put that right in your the link in your bio too.
Great tips. And of course, you're sending out tweets letting people know that they can register for your upcoming webinars.
Absolutely. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mari, do you mind us asking, how many, do you have a formula? And I always preface this by saying, you know, each person and their account is different. So if you've, you know, just landed on Facebook or you've just started using Twitter, these formulas might not always equate. But for someone who wants to someday have the same type of reach that you have, what number of tweets are you sending out per day or even per hour?
Tweets, the actual number of tweets. So yeah. Mine go out usually about every hour and a half to 2 hours. So okay. By the end of the day, I'm tweeting from 5 a.m. Pacific till about 7 p.m. Pacific. I'm not one of those people that advocates 24/7, especially if you are a personality-based business. It's different if you're a big brand. And, you know, I do have a global audience. I've got people all over the world, UK, Europe, Australia, Asia. So I could tweet through the night and people would see it and retweet it. But I want people to know I'm human. And yes, I do sleep at night, so I don't tweet through the night. But yeah, I'm saying on average about 6 to 10 at most tweets per day. I usually like to leave a gap, like I say, about 1 or 2 hours. The exception I make is when I'm live tweeting an event and or I have pre-scheduled tweets to go out to coincide with a talk I'm giving. I'll actually tweet every 5 minutes.
Nice.
But I'll say to people, you know, I've got, you know, a lot of tweets coming out right now, just warning you. So, but on Facebook's totally different animal. I do one or two posts per day maximum, and that works for me. But I know other people do extremely well with a significantly higher volume.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that we talk about with our students is, you know, if you're looking at purely engagement and reach, statistically speaking, especially since Facebook came out with this really cool way of being able to look at other pages and compare their growth compared to, say, 10 others that you've selected, you can see that those who are posting more are on a more frequent basis, sometimes like excessively, they're getting a higher reach and engagement. Mm-hmm. But as I always say, you know, that number, people kill themselves trying to create that. Mm-hmm. When you can spend 5 hours on Facebook trying to improve your engagement, or you can spend $5 on a Facebook ad and let Facebook create it for you.
I love that. I love that. What a great quote.
You know, I mean, you can work like mad to get a million likes to your page, or you can spend $5 and let Facebook pull up a million very targeted, or that's a pretty big range, yep. But, you know, a very large audience and say, we're going to actually put this in the newsfeed for you so you don't have to work so hard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, the targeting is insane. The granular targeting that you can do now by behavior. I don't think people even realize it's not just the demographics on Facebook. Facebook lets you have access, in the United States anyway, to data from these third-party data collection companies. So you could be targeting someone that's most likely to buy a BMW in the next 3 months, that has two kids under 5 years old, and that's going on a cruise. And it's
amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible. It is.
And it's a whole new world, and we just have to remember, all of us, mm-hmm. that it's a commitment to understand that it takes some time, and by slowing down and learning these things, we can actually live life a little more. You don't have to be on your computer 24/7, and if you just slow down to learn some of these practices from experts like Mari, you can actually have real relationships.
Yeah, absolutely.
It has been a pleasure to have you on the show. It is truly an honor, and I hope that people will take note of just, you know, that you're one of those, you can just hear it in your voice. You are one of those people who leads with their heart. You're so sweet and so kind, and it comes across when you're on stage. It comes across when you're online. I have one final question.
Mm-hmm.
For those like yourself who you lead with your heart, so it tugs at your heart when people are disappointed. And because your tribe, your lifers, are so expansive and in so many different countries, how do you deal with that inappropriate guilt we sometimes feel when people want access to you all the time, Mari? How do you handle that?
Yeah, well, okay, so a couple of things. First off, you know, I'm really, really rigorous about the ways to reach me, like my direct email address or my direct phone number is, you know, it's only given to a really tight inner circle. But online, I'm ruthless about replying to people on Twitter, and I just will never delegate my voice. I won't have people speaking as me. They can speak for me, but not as me. So I just have, over the years, trained myself, like every 24 hours, whoever or whatever tweets I've managed to respond to, that's the best that I could do in that day. And I allow time here and there and everywhere. In fact, there was a great saying I heard years ago that Twitter isn't something that you sit down and you do in 20 minutes or 30 minutes a day. You grout your day with Twitter, like putting the grout between the tiles. So it's like a minute here, a minute there. You can send a lot of replies by the end of the day. But what I've set up on Facebook that really works for me, I've had this in place for many years, I set up a separate Facebook fan page called Team Mari, and I have moderators that log in as Team Mari, and then they go to my main Mari Smith page and they respond to questions over there. And it's just made a profound difference to sustaining my Facebook connection with everybody they know in it. They know it's not me. They can see. And I have Juan as my main moderator, and he'll sign off his name so people know they can come to me for support.
Okay, I love that distinction. And so just to clarify, you've set up a like page that is Team Mari, and that's not a page that you necessarily are building a community on that page.
Mm-mm.
It's a page so that those people who are moderating it, when they're replying on your behalf, but not as you, you're being honest with your audience, saying, this is my team. These are people who I endorse. These are, you know, my practices, but it's my team you're talking to and not me personally.
Correct. Yeah. And they will always sign off their name.
Okay.
Yeah.
Consider that stolen. I love that idea. It's just, it's, you know, it's honesty, it's integrity, but it's also letting people know, you know, I have a life.
Yeah. And you just can't manage a page with hundreds of thousands of fans by yourself.
Right.
It's not possible. Even though people think that, hey, you know, could you give me help? Or you answer my, why didn't you answer my question? Well, because, you know, I got thousands of people asking me that. So it's just a beautiful win for everyone. And, you know, and it keeps Juan busy. He's my main moderator. But then we have other people that step in there from time to time. It's just, yeah, great system.
Well, we love on the show to close with our guest sharing their best freemium or their best piece of content where people can also join your email list. And is there one thing that you'd like to share with our audience?
I am so excited for a brand new report that I just created. It's 21 pages, a PDF, and it is 10 steps to establishing yourself as a thought leader using social media and beyond. So it's not to be a social media thought leader, but it's a thought leader in your industry of all the different ways, the 10 different ways I'm suggesting you can do that to create thought leadership. And people can just go to my main website, mariesmith.com, and they'll see the invitation to sign up for that. And it's just one of my best pieces of work. Very, very excited about it.
It's a great offer because so many people aren't quite sure, and myself included when I first started this. I didn't know how to position myself as an expert, as a thought leader. So what a valuable tool. Thank you so much for sharing that with our audience.
Sure, absolutely.
Mari, it's been a pleasure.
Likewise. Glad to be here.
Thanks for listening, lifers. Shalene invites you to join her for her free coaching program designed to help you get organized, productive, and laser focused on what really matters. To sign up for her free video coaching program, please visit 30daypush.com.